Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good luck to your Commanders in the draft as well. I think you go get those Jaden Daniels jerseys. I think you go get that.
Adam Schefter, just quickly, on some Commanders podcast, I don't know what it is. They're like, oh, yeah, by the way, go buy your Jaden Daniels jerseys. So Schefter continues to do this. He's telling you Daniels is going it too.
He is sticking his neck out there.
Be very, very clear. That's exactly what he's doing. He's sticking his neck out. He's now doubling and tripling down. So Schefter is either just right or wrong. You either believe him or you don't. We're going to find out. Easy score settling. Schefter is planting his flag. Daniels to the Commanders at pick two. It either happens or it doesn't. We rip him if he's wrong. And if he's right, we tried to warn you. But I feel like that's a significant shift, which means you're going to be getting your choice between Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, or a trade back, I guess, if that's what the Patriots want to do.
Let's say this. I don't think the trade back is happening. This close, they're going with the quarterback. They're going with that choice between J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. And I do wonder how much of the front office is still, their collaborative approach is sitting there trying to decide between these two quarterbacks. And that scares me if I'm a Patriots fan.
Yeah, so I don't know how much back and forth there is, but there could be some where, and we've laid this out before, Elliot Wolf, I was reading Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, you know, Elliot Wolf, who was instrumental in taking Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, he's like, okay, hey, Robert, you want a quarterback? This is the quarterback I want. This is the guy I like. I want the higher floor player, which should give Patriots fans, I think, you know, panic attacks, hearing about that after taking Mac Jones in 2021. But maybe there's some push and pull there. I'm with you. I think they're locked in on a quarterback. I think they know what they want to do. I do not think it's J.J. McCarthy, but maybe that's wishful thinking because Tom Pelissero tweets out last night, the Patriots are having, again, this is last night, he tweeted this out, so past tense, had dinner with Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. Do we know where, Mego? Did that ever emerge? Were there any photos of it?
I never saw any photos.
Was it like Tebow out and about in the North End a few years ago? Was it like that?
Dragged him out to that Sonic Burger in Salem, I think.
No, I did see it was Foxborough, so do you think they did like Davio's?
I'm sure they just did, yeah, Red Robin or something like that. Who knows? They're going to host him on a visit today in Foxborough. New England owns the number three pick. They previously hosted Drake May, Jaden Daniels. And so, what do we make of this? Do you think it's a smokescreen? Do you think they're really in? Should we buy into the order of when these guys came in? It was May 1st, then Daniels, now McCarthy. What do we make of this visit, the dinner, all of it?
I don't make too much of the scheduling. Like, I think that probably just has to do with logistical scheduling. But it seems to me like they're trying to do their due diligence, which I think is smart. I mean, look, whether you like J.J. McCarthy or you don't, or you feel like he's a consolation prize, which is kind of where I'm at this point, I think it's still smart to meet with the kid, to spend some time with him the way that you did the other two, just in case. Like, you never know. And so I there's a risk of you confusing yourself, especially if he interviews really well and he has all these intangibles and some of the stuff that you fell for the last time around. But I still think, like, it doesn't hurt to spend time with somebody who you're realistically considering. Like, maybe you sit there and you go, I don't even want them to consider J.J. McCarthy. But whatever, if people in your front office are and they're trying to have an argument about whether or not he should be there, of course you want to get all the data points that you can, including, right, you know, what's he like after two drinks at Davio's? But find it out.
This is to your point. And again, we're 10 days, 4 hours, 54 minutes, 18, 17, 16, 15 seconds away from the draft. Should they still be having those discussions? Like, no. Shouldn't you know? You should know.
No,
and
you
so
should know.
I land on smokescreen. And again, maybe that's wishful thinking, but I land on smokescreen. They're bringing him in. They're taking him out to dinner. Did we read about a dinner with Jaden Daniels?
No.
Did we read about a dinner with Drake May? So they have him out, wining and dining, taking him out on the town, making a big fuss about it. I think it's a smokescreen. Now, why are they playing games? What's the point in a smokescreen? Are they trying to drive up the price? Do they just not want people to know? Are they trying to spook Washington if they think Washington is playing games at two? You know, spook Washington into doing something? I have no idea why they'd be playing the game, but I think it's a smokescreen, and I think the dinner is the giveaway there.
They think that if they take J.J. McCarthy to dinner at Patriot Place, that Washington's going to want J.J. McCarthy?
I don't know.
it's just ridiculous.
I just wonder if it's more about not showing their hand and wanting Drake May. And Washington saying, ooh, New England's on Drake May. Let's take another look at it. Now, look, I trust Schefter. I think it's happening with Jaden Daniels. I don't know why they play games. I don't think it's to make a trade. I don't think it's to drive up any prices. I think it might just be to keep people off the scent. Could be as simple as that. But, no, I don't think you should be needing to feel out J.J. McCarthy two drinks into dinner 10 days before the draft.
Now he wants to go do karaoke.
You should have already known.
Don't draft him.
Who do you think when they're having this dinner?
Great question.
Is at the dinner?
Don't know. Wasn't reported? Don't know.
This is the only thing that scares me, and this is totally just a theory. But what if it's a matter of Elliot Wolf sitting down and introducing J.J. McCarthy to the Crafts to show how much he's going to be a great fit for New England?
Okay, so look, I look at the dinner as smokescreeny, and that's the giveaway. They're too public about it, but it could be the opposite, and you could be right.
If behind closed doors, say, we've seen reported that Elliot Wolf really likes J.J. McCarthy, and that would be his quarterback if he's going to pick a quarterback, the Crafts are saying, we need a quarterback. We need a highly touted quarterback out of this draft. We don't really get it with J.J. Why not Drake May? They all have dinner together, and they're saying, look how great J.J. is. Couldn't this be another one of your sons?
So, look, that is not my read on it, but that's a totally plausible scenario where the Crafts are brought in at the last second, 10 days out, and they go out to dinner with the kid for Wolf really to make a final push to sell ownership because they're the ones who are going to need to be sold because I think they're making the pick. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the phones on the Patriots. What are they doing at 3? What do we make of J.J. McCarthy's visit, the dinner last night? You can also text us 37937. Everybody knows the number. Or you can even jump in on the Twitch chat. Our big question of the day is Red Sox related today. What's the worst look for the Red Sox? A lot of options. They keep bonking into each other and making errors in the outfield. Their players are making strange comments. Kenley Jansen complaining about baseballs. Tristan Cassis whining about Ted Williams' seat. On top of that, you have the empty ballpark over the weekend. Only 33,000 in attendance today. Not a sellout. On Patriots Day, of all days. And you have the coup de grace. Tom Werner and John Henry skipping Larry Lucchino's funeral, which we found out, according to Channel 5, Theo was there.
And Sam Kennedy.
And Sam
Craig
Kennedy was
Breslow.
There. And Linda. And so it makes John and Larry, I keep saying Larry, John and Tom, rather, look even worse. So you can vote. You can also jump in on the text line or the Twitch chat, Dubs 985. The worst look is how you look, Jones, after jumping on the bandwagon after 3 games. LOL. Fair point. They're still over 500. I haven't done the math on what they're on pace for wins.
It's not 116.
It's not. I can get you that math.
It's almost like you're backpedaling away from this take. Like, Rafael Devers backpedaled into Tyler O'Neill.
What am I backpedaling away from? They're still over 500. They've only lost one series all year. What am I backpedaling away from?
Only one series. How did that series go?
Okay, they've lost one series.
It's not like that's a team that's actually in their division.
They're a game out of the wild card. So, I haven't backpedaled from anything. They played like crap today. I mean, I'll tell you, they played like crap. But I haven't backpedaled away from the decision. Maybe it will have me looking bad. Speaking of which, that pink hat picture that Ken took is just abysmal to me.
What do you mean?
I don't know where I grew.
Grew
it,
what?
It looks like I grew out a little bit in the chest. I look a little thicker than I.
Wait, what?
Take another look at that picture and tell me I don't look like I've tacked on about 25 pounds in that
What
picture.
Are you talking about?
Is this just how I look every day?
No. Hold on. Let me go take a... No, you're just doing something weird with your arms.
Yeah, but it
makes you look a little bosomy.
It does. I agree.
Practically glowing.
It makes me look bosomy is the right word.
You look a
it
little
looks
belly
like
chicken.
I got a pair of Hooters there is what it looks like.
You look bosomy.
So we need to retake that. We need to retake that picture. I want this pink hat bit to keep going, but we need to retake that picture.
Are you going to burn that hoodie now?
I can't be pink hat and bosomy. Yeah, that hoodie's probably out. That hoodie's probably done.
I mean, look, it's a good thing that you have a beard in this picture that we posted. Otherwise, you would look like some kind of South Shore mom.
Why is the bearded lady wearing a pink hat in the WEEI studios? So, I do look quite bosomy, quite busty. There's also this. Come on, Jones, not the manager. Anybody who played through high school knows to back up a base. That's the point. They all know the manager needs to reinforce it and send a message if they're not doing it. He's not doing that. Also this, what right do Mego and Idiot Jones have to criticize Cora? They had zero to say when the Red Sox played well.
That is inaccurate with you.
Incorrect. What room does Mego have to say? Because she was not complimentary when they were playing well, so how can
That's
you rip
true.
Them now? But no, I was quite complimentary.
I ripped them when they were playing well, and I'll continue to rip them now. Also, the Twitch chat, speaking of, is calling you Madame Jones.
Yeah, Madam Jones. I've heard that. That's not original. I've heard that many times.
Oh,
but
I thought it was pronounced Madame. Now I'm seeing it's Madam. I get
Madam.
It. That's
yeah.
funnier.
You get it?
That's
no, no, no.
Funnier.
Madam Jones. Look, it's very clever. I've seen it many times in my life, so I don't mean to take away from the Twitch chat. It's a good dig. It's just not the first time I've seen it. Let's go to Greg in Holyoke. Go ahead, Greg.
I want to talk about Larry Lucchino and his funeral and John Henry not going to it.
Sure, go ahead.
The way that you present it seems to me to be, first of all, boring. Secondly, childlike. The way that the girl talks is melodramatic.
Okay, well, that's Mego, Greg. What's boring about the owner skipping out on his fellow or former business partner's funeral? You think that's boring? You don't think that's interesting or noteworthy?
Not in any way. All of the people that I know that have died are dead. So you certainly, Lucchino doesn't care if he's there or not because he's dead. Secondly.
Okay. I can't. Everyone I know who has died is dead. I mean, it's a fair point.
That is a strong take.
I was not analyzing this from an afterlife standpoint. That was not how I was doing it. It was just about, you know, showing that you care about someone who passed on. Someone who I thought was very important to this ownership group. Someone who was very, very good, a champion for the Jimmy Fund. But that I was only thinking about it through that prism. I was not thinking about it through, again, the afterlife or past life or anything like that.
And historically, I mean, nobody's family ever cares who shows up to a loved one's funeral. That's never anything contentious or melodramatic,
no.
To use the caller's words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was about you specifically.
The way that the girl talks is melodramatic.
I mean, look, we're all allowed our takes. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there on the phones. You can continue to vote on what the worst look is for the Red Sox. I didn't hear a vote from him, by the way. He doesn't care about the funeral. I didn't hear an actual vote from that last caller. I'd be curious to hear how he would answer that question.
All of the people that I know that have died are dead.
I mean, it's impossible to argue with that. That is airtight logic. We'll get back to your phone calls. We'll get back to the Patriots as well. There are some odds out on Tom Brady and where he could return to if he decides to make an NFL comeback, along with all our thoughts on what the Patriots are doing at number three. That's after trending with, not Arcan, no, 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 no. He put in a big day earlier today. Ryan Garvin with all the latest, and we're right back.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today. Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Jones and Mega on WEEI. WEEI.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots, somebody, Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Drop it, Buster.
We can get to Tom Brady coming up. We spent some time on this last week, discussing his NFL comeback. Odds are out for where Brady could wind up. It's a fun game. We can play it coming up with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. There's also a bit of a wide receiver carousel going on. And I've kind of forbid, myself anyway, to get too caught up in, oh, the Patriots are in on this receiver after they, to me, didn't show enough interest in Calvin Ridley. They were interested, but didn't go far enough to keep him.
Keenan Allen.
Or any interest in Keenan Allen.
Stephon Diggs.
Or Steph Diggs, another good one. Oh, the Bills wouldn't trade him in the division. Well, they traded him in the conference to a way better team.
And then the report came out after that the only team they actually were completely blocking from even a trade conversation was Kansas City.
Correct. So they weren't in on Diggs. They didn't even call about Keenan Allen. And for my taste, they weren't in enough on Calvin Ridley. But Brandon Ayuk may or may not have requested a trade. CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, both not at voluntary workouts. Voluntary workouts, underscore that, but still not out there. The Eagles just signed Devontae Smith to an extension. What does that mean for A.J. Brown? We can get into all of it with your phone calls here coming up. A few texts, 37937. You guys all know the number. We were discussing J.J. McCarthy, whether or not the dinner the other night, the visit today is a smokescreen. Mego, you say it is or it isn't?
I don't think it is. I think it's real.
You think there's real interest?
Yes.
And they're really hashing out who they're taking at three?
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know if it's so much hashing out. Maybe it's a
last-ditch
effort of one party to try to prop up JJ and make an argument for him. I think it's a real data collection point, though.
Okay. A couple of texts. I can't believe JJ McCarthy is being discussed as a real NFL quarterback. Did anyone watch him play? I guess it's kind of how I feel.
That's very not nice.
If McCarthy was going in like the second round or on the same tier as Penix and Nix, I think
he was before.
Yeah, I think we'd all go, okay, that makes sense. And maybe he'll work out, but the acquisition cost where those other guys are going makes a lot more sense than a top three or four pick. You know, Daniel Jeremiah tweeted out weeks ago, four quarterbacks are going in the top six. That to me, he's not worth that kind of acquisition cost. Day two pick, fine. Roll the dice on him, see if he can play. If not, you move on the following year. But if you're investing a top five pick or a top six pick, I'm with the texter on that. There's also this, and this is a fair point, although I have an answer. 37937, if Wolf passes over Josh Allen for Baker Mayfield, or passed over Josh Allen for Baker Mayfield, what makes you think he likes Drake May? And I'll add this, he also passed on Lamar Jackson. So, like, Baker Mayfield can play. He's not Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold. So it's not like Elliott Wolf completely butchered that draft. But he passed on Allen. He passed on Lamar Jackson. That is a two-time MVP in the case of Lamar, an MVP candidate in the case of Josh Allen, though neither one has won a Super Bowl. I'm not telling you that Elliott Wolf loves Drake May. My answer to that would be it might not be Wolf's call. It might be ownership's call, and he's not going to have much say. He may love J.J. McCarthy, but the call may not be up to him. And maybe in Cleveland he had more sway than he has here, where, remember, he doesn't have a contract beyond the draft.
It's true. Two things. One, is it possible that he learned from his mistake? That he's like, hey, I'm not going to miss out on the Josh Allen type this time around?
Yeah, and by the way, he also experienced the Mac Jones roller coaster too. Yes. So it would be fair to say maybe he's learned his lesson. Fair.
Okay, the other thing, and this might just be a ridiculous wishful thinking. How much say do you think somebody like Ben McAdoo has in this process?
I mean, I hope zero, but if you're asking me if he has any say, he might.
Wasn't it that specific Baker Mayfield draft that he wrote the whole thing in the New York Post about,
Josh Allen.
This is exactly who I think, where I think these guys should have gone before any of them took an NFL snap.
Yep.
So.
Love Josh Allen, love Lamar Jackson, and the draft prior, or was it two drafts prior, he also, when he was with the Giants, allegedly loved Patrick Mahomes and was pissed when the Chiefs leapfrogged them to draft Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so I don't put as much stock into the Patrick Mahomes thing because, yeah, sure, whatever. I'm sure a lot of people are saying that at this point. But that other piece was down in print. Now, it was after the draft, but it was before the season started or even the preseason started. So I do, maybe, like I said, maybe it's wishful thinking. You don't want him involved at all. I'm sitting there going, well, if he really likes Josh Allen, then maybe he's in the ear saying Drake May is the next Josh Allen.
I don't want Jerod Mayo involved. Never mind Alex Van Pelt or Ben McAdoo. I don't want Mayo involved in the pick.
So who do you want picking? Just the Crafts?
Basically, yeah. I basically want the Crafts to sit there and go, we want a quarterback.
But
this is the one we're taking.
Then you might end up with a J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. I'll allow Elliott Wolf to have some input. He's in personnel. I don't need the coach's input on this one, especially when Jerod Mayo just got on the job, especially when Ben McAdoo has been out of a job and hasn't been good at his job.
Yeah, he's a flunky.
Alex Van Pelt's never done it either, meaning as an offensive coordinator and a play caller. So, no, you guys, why don't you focus on your new jobs? And let's let, you know, the people in charge make this call. I don't need the coaches coming in and gumming up the works. Yeah, T.C. McCartney, Alex Van Pelt, Ben McAdoo. I don't need them confusing things. Like, go in, make the pick. And it's your job then to coach him, Jerod. But that's how I would look at it. And, yeah, I know people hate my take that the Crafts should make the pick. I think they're making it. I already think they're making it. So I just wish they would wear it. And they wouldn't hide behind Elliott Wolf and his contract that's not extended beyond the draft. 617-779-7937. You can still vote in our big question of the day. What's the worst look for the Boston Red Sox? Is it skipping out on Lucchino's funeral, their play on the field, some of their comments after the last couple of games, including Kenley Jansen crying about baseballs, the pitch clock, or is it, what's our other option? Why am I blanking on this? The empty stadium, which was very empty over the weekend. It wasn't a sellout earlier today. Let's go to the phones. Jim's in the car. Go ahead, Jim.
Thanks for taking the call. I want to talk about the Red Sox. I'm glad you called out ownership in regards to spending. The cliche, you get what you pay for, certainly is going to apply to this Red Sox team this year. And after three last place finishes in 4 years, their investment in the offseason is just unconscionable. And it's going to be interesting to see at what month we start to see more and more empty seats at Fenway.
Yeah, so you're already seeing them, Jim. I asked Mego this earlier in the show. Is it starting to impact the business? You said yes. We were talking about this off-air. They're so fortunate they started 7-3 on that trip. Because if they came back 3-7, I don't even think they'd be getting as many fans as they got to start this homestand. And look, a lot of the goodwill that they built up with people like me out west, they pretty much peed away right up. They lost their first four games on the homestand. They got smoked by Baltimore. They dropped the first game against the Angels. They lost another one here today. So that's not going to carry you all season, but I do think it floated them a little bit early. They're still over 500. They've still only lost one series. I did the math last break. They're on pace for 87 wins. It's not a disaster, but it does feel like it came crashing back down through the floor pretty quickly. And, yeah, I think last year it impacted the business model. I don't think fans are going to give it a long leash if the team continues to drop off as they have this last week or so.
I agree. I think for the casual fan, the biggest thing even more so than like, okay, they dropped this series, they picked up this series, they've won this many series out of the entire calendar so far, so I'm going to make the decision of whether or not to go to Fenway Park. I think it's more about, honestly, they don't know the team. Like, the casual fan does not know the team. Mookie's not there. Xander's not there. Chris Sale's not there. Like, they don't know anybody on this team. How many people walking down the street do you think if you stop them know who Bayo is? And that's the first in your rotation.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe you were just starting to get to know Tyler O'Neill, and then Devers ran him over today and got him hurt. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think fans know the players. I don't think they're engaging with the team because there's no reason to. I mean, there's one guy on the team who's been here for a while who's well compensated. It's Rafael Devers. You know, pretty much everybody else feels like pieces that are coming and going. Maybe you'll start to identify with Bayo because he's been paid. Rafaela just got a contract. Maybe Cassis eventually will too. But by and large, everybody else just feels like a piece that's just passing through while the owners count their money in the meantime. That's how it feels.
I mean, even last year, there was at least some intrigue with Yoshida. And he's just seemingly completely faded from the spotlight at this point.
Yeah, he hit his first home run yesterday, right? So, like, yeah, he has not, and I was championing him last year in the middle of last year. He dropped off at the end of the year, and he hasn't started hot, that's for sure. Carl's in Westfield. Go ahead, Carl.
I have to answer your question on which is worse with Red Sox. Now, this is easy because the choice is simple. It's the no relief pitching, which we all remember last year. You have 4 or 5 runs, and no, you don't. 1, 2, 3, load them up, home run, grand slam.
Yeah, they could give it away pretty quickly. The bullpen looked like it was okay for like a series. And the starting pitching has lasted longer than I thought.
Yeah.
Cutter Crawford was great again today. You know, Bayo was really good yesterday. And so I've been saying the starting pitching I don't think is sustainable. It's already lasted longer than I thought. The bullpen's falling apart. Weissert gave up another home run today. Who's the bum who they put on the DL who got his brains beat in last week? Yes, Isaiah Campbell.
He was a mess.
Slayton's been good. Martin's hurt. Jansen walks 2 or 3 guys every time he gets out there.
It's not a comfortable watch when Kelly Jansen gets
out
there.
No. I think I was watching on TV yesterday. Lou was like, before he even came in, he's like, well, he hasn't given up a hit yet, but he's already walked like 7 guys. And of course, he comes out and gives up a bloop hit, and it was a very uncomfortable watch, even though Jansen got that save. So, no, I mean, the bullpen looked like it had made strides from a year ago. It's right back to where it was. The team looks like they did a year ago. I mean, that's 100% how they look. How about Sorgia in Mansfield? Go ahead, Sorgia.
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to switch it up with a little Patriots call. How you guys been doing?
We've been doing well. What do you got?
Doing good. So I just want to bring this to your attention. So since 2013, I don't know if you knew this, but the Patriots haven't had a second contract from anybody they've drafted in the first 3 rounds. So, you know, I get it. I know we're putting all this attention towards the 3rd pick, as we should, but we have 7 other picks in this draft, and I think, like, you know, we're building a brand new jigsaw puzzle, right? And we can't just butcher this draft like we've been doing for years and years under the Belichick.
Okay, Sorgia, fair point. They need to hit on more than just the 3rd pick, but we're focused on the 3rd pick for obvious reasons. Since he brought up beyond the 1st round, can I just present to you Mel Kiper and Field Yates did a 3-round mock today. And mock drafts are now like, if you thought they were already oversaturating the market, now it's like a daily occurrence. There's a new mock every single day. From some like heavy hitter out there. So I read this one today. I just breezed through it. Kiper has them taking Drake May at 3, and then Field Yates in the rotation got the next 2 picks. He went wide receiver with both of them. Keon Coleman, 34, Tez Walker at 68. How would you feel about... Thank you. How would you, Mego, feel about that approach? You get the quarterback at 3, and then the next 2 picks are wide receivers.
It's not the worst approach. I'm just wondering what you're doing about tackle. And again, I know this is something that I've been saying for over a year at this point, but I do think when you look at this, the makeup of this draft, and it's supposed to be very heavy on the talent side and quarterback, wide receiver, and tackle, why not attack all 3 of those positions unless you really don't feel extremely strong in the first wide receiver you're going to take, so you need another one? Like, especially the one that he pointed out, he was like, this will be a safety blanket for Drake May because of their familiarity.
They played together at UNC.
Yeah, how familiar they are with each other. It's like, okay, so then just take that one and take a tackle in the 2nd round.
Okay, you could. I'm fine with taking 2 wide receivers there, but I found that interesting. You can jump in on all of it. What else do they have to hit on beyond just the 3rd pick? Tackle. versus wide receiver. Speaking of wide receivers, it sounds like there's one guy who's off the market. T. Higgins was speaking over the weekend at Bengals mini camp, whatever it was, some of their OTAs. What are they beginning here?
OTAs.
Thank you. Is it even OT? I don't even know what it is. And
it's like the voluntary.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's thank you. It's voluntary. It's the same thing Lamb and Jefferson are skipping out on. It's voluntary workouts. Thank you. Here's what he had to say about his future in Cincinnati.
Do you anticipate playing for the Bengals this year?
We'll see. I do anticipate it. You know, Cincy is, I've grown up, you know, I love for Cincy that I didn't think I would, but, you know, man, looking forward to it.
Okay, so he makes it sound like he's coming back. He does start with, we'll see, which.
And he's like, oops, wait.
We'll see.
It leaves the door.
I do anticipate it.
It does leave the door ajar. But it sounds like he's back in Cincinnati. That's a name we've had circled. That's a guy who's actually requested a trade. Brandon Ayuk, maybe or maybe not, has officially requested a trade.
There was stuff out on social media, and then his agent came out and was like, you need better sources.
Fine.
But, which is how this stuff always starts.
Okay, but whether he's requested a trade or not, we all think he wants a new contract, right?
Yes.
So same thing. But he's not happy is the point. And he may wind up getting traded by the draft. So that's Ayuk. Devontae Smith just got a deal in Philly today. Does that make A.J. Brown more expendable? That's a guy Tom Curran has talked about before. I just mentioned these two names, but Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, both first-round picks in 2020, are skipping voluntary workouts. Now, those are voluntary. You don't have to go. But maybe those are more names you can focus in on. How much movement do you think we're going to see on the wide receiver market, Mego? Because I do remember a couple of years ago, Hollywood Brown, A.J. Brown, both got moved on draft night. We saw Tyreek Hill, among others, get moved a few off-seasons ago. We've started to see a lot of movement there. And we've already seen, to your point, Keenan Allen get dealt. We already saw Stephon Diggs get dealt. Never mind Calvin Ridley, who was a free agent. How much more movement, Patriots or not, do you think we see on that wide receiver carousel?
I'll start with the obvious one. The Minnesota would be absolute fools to let Justin Jefferson go. That would be the most foolish thing that they could possibly do at this point. So I don't see him moving at all. I do wonder about someone like Ayuk, where there's been rumors and his family putting stuff out on social media over the past several months at this point. Somebody like T. Higgins, okay, is it going to be a long-term thing that they can make with Jamar work with Jamar Chase? I don't know. Everybody else feels a little bit more possible. The CeeDee Lamb stuff, I think, is another real disgruntled situation with his contract extension, more so than him just not showing up for voluntary workouts. But the only one that I'd look at and I'd say, like, absolutely, that guy's not shaking loose is Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
That feels ridiculous to me.
Lamb is interesting to me just because the Cowboys have so many guys they got to pay. Are they paying Dak? Are they paying Micah Parsons? So, like, that's the only way.
Isn't
that one...
where Cincinnati will be, too?
Yeah. I don't think either of those guys are shaking free, but Dallas at least intrigues me. I love CeeDee Lamb. You mentioned Jefferson wouldn't move. Reese did write this over the weekend. He said the pipe dream for the Patriots would be the Vikings trading receiver Justin Jefferson as part of a package that includes multiple first-round picks, or maybe starting left tackle Christian Darrisaw. Let's focus on the receiver for a moment. This is getting back to the bag that Gerard Mayo talked about. Tom Curran said the Patriots are going to want a historic return for that pick, maybe four first-round picks. Reese says multiple picks in Jefferson or Christian Darrisaw. So, look, I'm with you. I don't think Justin Jefferson's going anywhere. Even if he is, I don't think the Patriots are the team that are going to pay up to go get him. But that's interesting to file away.
If I had to make a prediction today, I would guess that they try to swing that trade with Arizona and they take J.J. McCarthy to pair there.
Okay. Would you be jealous of Arizona making that trade?
I mean, I guess a little bit, except I don't really want Kyler Murray as my quarterback. So.
No, me either, but I don't know. I think
Arizona's sitting with maybe the most power in the entire draft right now.
I said I would shut down the idea of Justin Jefferson for the third pick. I want the quarterback. I need what good is Justin Jefferson if my quarterback's Sam Darnold or that equivalent? And Jacoby Brissett is that equivalent. So what good is Jefferson? But if I see Jefferson turn around to get dealt, part of me is just thinking he won't get moved. If he actually got dealt to the pick behind the Pats, I might have a little buyer's remorse. Real quick, just to pay it off, covers.com, I read this at PFT, has some odds on Brady and his next destination. It's plus 1,000 that he moves at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you just want to wager on Tom Brady returning, I should say.
Oh, man.
It's plus 1,000. So healthy odds right there, 10-1. Here are how the teams break down. If Brady returns, the favorite is the Raiders at plus 125. Next up are the Pats at plus 300, followed by the Bucks plus 500, the Niners plus 900, the Dolphins at plus 1,200, the Jets at plus 2,000. You can go any team for plus 500. I was intrigued by one thing Florio wrote, and we should not discount this. People are like, why would Brady come back? Brady's not coming back. It's plus 1,000. It's 10 to 1. Why would he come back? If he feels like Mahomes is breathing down his neck, is that a reason to come back?
He's too old. I don't think he's going
to
come back.
Okay, but that's not what I asked. Is that a reason to come back?
No.
Mahomes is breathing down his neck. No.
How many does Mahomes have?
3.
Okay, how many does Brady have?
7.
Yeah, he's not even halfway there yet.
How many did Brady have at this age? Same amount.
Yeah.
And so that when I say he's breathing down his neck, he's on pace to catch Brady. He is.
Boredom might be a reason for Tom Brady to come back.
He's on pace, but he's not even halfway there yet.
Okay. Mego says no. What do you guys say? You can vote 617-779-7937 plus 300 to the Patriots. We'll continue here with all your feedback. We'll mix in a few thoughts on the Celtics. It was Mike Gorman Day yesterday at TD Garden. And does it matter who the Celtics get in round one? All that next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Breaking down the questions you need answers to.
Why are there so many Batman? Why is there so much incest?
You are listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
You know the song from Cheers where they say you want to go where everybody knows your name? That's what made the TD Garden for me. It's a place I could go where everybody knew my name, and the relationship I've been able to develop with everybody who works in this building, not opposing teams, but everybody who works in this building has just been, that's the biggest part of it for me, because just to have, to see all the guys as I walk in, see Jimmy and Jackie from security, and I could go on and on with all the guys, it's just been wonderful. So I'll say that, and to the team, I just want to say, go win this thing. Will you please just go win it?
Celtics fans, let's hear it one more time for the voice of the Boston Celtics, Mike Gorman.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Good moment for Mike Gorman yesterday. I don't know how much of it you were watching on the broadcast, Mego. I wasn't really planning on watching a ton. I, like Ryan, had a little SGP action on Peyton Pritchard yesterday, so I hung around longer than I expected. That was a big part of it, but some of it was the Celtics did a good job with that yesterday. It was a good moment for Mike Gorman. It's a good watchable broadcast with lots of cut-ins from all-time greats, ownership, other broadcasters, players past and present. So it was a good moment, and the Celtics finished with 64 wins on top of it.
Yeah, I thought it was extremely classy. Look, it's what he deserves, and he's also got his own day in Boston now, so good for him. I don't like that song, though. I'm not going to pretend like I like
this
song.
Yeah, Mego,
I did a whole segment where I ripped on this song, so it's not of my generation, but I'm happy that he has it.
So if it's not of your generation, you don't like it?
No, I like a lot of music that's not of my generation.
Right.
I'm saying,
so
I
what does it have to do if it's not your generation?
Maybe this feels less corny, just like Cheers felt less corny if you watched it live. I've only ever seen reruns, and I'm like, man, this show does not age well.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of the show, but the song, it's a good theme song. It's a good show theme song. How dare you? Don't crinkle your face. When it comes to Gorman, the only weird thing about it all is he's not done.
Right.
Like, I think if most fans didn't know any better, they're like, it was Mike Gorman Day, that was his last broadcast, and then you're going to tune in on NBC Sports Boston for some of these games. Don't they have the whole first round? They certainly have games in the first round, and you're going to be like, wait, I thought Gorman was done. So that to me is just a little awkward in how they did it. But if you want everybody to know and pay their respects, and if you saw any behind the scenes footage of Gorman showing up with his family, his granddaughter, he's walking through the garden, he's shaking everybody's hand, people are paying their respects. It's a good moment for him. It just, to the viewer, maybe it's a little confusing.
I think it's the only way that they could do it fully planned out, though. I mean, like, otherwise, what are you doing? You're looking at the last game of the first round, and you're trying to schedule everybody in
game
there
two.
At the same time?
Game two against the bum-ass Hawks. That's going to be their last home game because they're going to sweep them. And so, game two, I don't know. If it's Miami, plan on game seven.
God forbid it goes the other way, and the Celtics are down 0-3, and they're like, oh, well, Mike Gorman, you've done such a great job for us, and our historic season's about to come to an end. But you're really special.
I think it was the best way to do it. I understand what you're saying,
isn't it a little weird? I don't know if there's a better way to do it. It's just a little weird.
It's more something that's like of pageantry. So you're like, okay, we're going to have this whole celebration of you on this kind of meaningless game, and then we go into the postseason, and now it's back to work.
Let me tell you.
For everybody.
Thank God Joe Mazzulla kept Pritchard out there in the fourth quarter in honor of Mike Gorman, because some of us hit our bets because of it. And I needed to, because I took a bath on the Masters in the afternoon.
Everybody loves giving Peyton Pritchard nicknames. He's the garbage man. Because that's when he comes up. He comes in when there's no point in playing anybody, and he cleans up the trash.
How do you feel about that commentary on your son?
Never talk to me or my son ever again.
That's a lucrative industry. I mean, that's a moneymaker right there.
He didn't mean that as a compliment.
Of course, I won money off him. Two games when the Celtics are just not playing anybody. No, Peyton Pritchard. I rode Peyton Pritchard.
Mego thinks garbage men are beneath her. You can weigh in. 617-779-7937.
As a waste removal specialist.
When I want to take a step up in my professional life, I am going to become a garbage man.
Meanwhile, the Celtics won 64 wins now on the season, short of my 66, which was the goal.
Short of my 67.
I was literally just going to say it, Ryan, short of Ryan's 67 that he took out before the year. Yeah, you win some, you lose some. Scared money don't make money.
It's that Hawks series.
Exactly. When it comes to the Celtics, do you care who they match up against? I mean, in theory, they could get any one of Atlanta, Chicago, Miami, Philadelphia. Does it matter, Mega, who they get?
I really don't think it matters. Like, it absolutely should not matter. If you're asking me who I'm the most scared of, it's going to be Miami. Like, it's always going to be Miami because of what happened last season. And they have your number a little bit. But I'm not really scared of any of these
teams.
Thank
you. Define scared. Because, like, Miami to me is, that's a nightmare first round matchup.
It's the only one that would raise an eyebrow if I didn't have fresh Botox.
But you don't think they're going to lose. Well, you just think it might be a more challenging series than
that,
right? I mean, that's how I feel about it, too.
Yeah, maybe shake you up a little bit.
They're not going to lose to Miami, and some people feel like that might get them to lock in early. I disagree with that thought process, but some out there feel that way. You can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Ray in Boston on our Patriots Talk. Go ahead, Ray.
Since you guys are throwing around the Ayuk deal, how would you guys feel if we traded this year's second, next year's second, and then you got to sign him to a 5-year, $110 million contract, all guaranteed, $22 million a year. Is that a deal you guys like or no?
No. Would you do that, Mego? This year's second and next year's second? No.
This year's second is too valuable if you're throwing that in with next year's, I think that's too high
to
go in on the contract.
So
you have to look at this year's second as essentially almost another first.
Okay. How about if it's just this year's second and the contract?
Then I'm okay with it.
Me too. So, like, I'm not.
You don't need to sweeten the deal with that second.
Two second round picks. I don't think you need to do that. Trust me, I'm the king of, like, flush all your picks down the toilet and get established talent. But that feels like a wild overpay in my estimation. Some text, 37937. You guys all know the number. McCarthy's stock is on the rise because his ex-coach is a genius. Harbaugh is hyping him up so that a player he wants drops down to him.
This is the first time that a college coach has ever hyped up somebody in the draft.
Do you think there's something to that where Harbaugh is just hyping him up so he can get Neighbors or Harrison or somebody to push down to him?
No, I think it has more to do with him winning the national championship and having a giant stage that way.
Okay, maybe. I mean, if he likes him so much, he should be trying to get him. And so I don't really think Harbaugh's trying to get him. And so I tend to lean towards that. He's trying to push a player like Harrison down. He might get Harrison at five because of all this maneuvering. And so I don't know. I don't want to let him big brain it the way people used to feel like Bill was big braining everything. But I think there's an element of that going on.
Yeah, look, if you think that J.J. McCarthy is going to be so great, in theory, you would look at it and say, why doesn't Harbaugh
go get him?
Then go get him, yeah. and trade Herbert for something for him right away. But as we've learned from our friend DJ Bean, the Herbert's contract is basically untradeable.
Yeah.
And you don't know ball.
I think DJ doesn't know ball because I quite frankly think you can move pretty much any contract as we've seen time and time again in the NFL. There's also this 37937, no movement at all on the wide receiver carousel we were discussing earlier. Why do you keep talking about receivers that will never be here? I don't think they're going to be here, but they might move.
I wouldn't say no movement.
I think receivers are going to move. Ayuk could definitely move. I'm with the texter, though. I don't think they're coming here, and I've been saying that now for a while.
But could Buffalo probably use a receiver to bolster the big talent gap they have on their team right now?
100%. There's also this. Enough with Keenan Allen. I just get baffled at these. We get these quite often, actually. Enough with Keenan Allen. 32 years old, spends as much time in the blue tent as he does on the field. Final year of his deal. Make it make sense for a four-win team, because it doesn't. Keenan Allen, going back to 2017, 16, 16, 16 games, 14, 16, 10 in 2022, which was a legit injury. He only played 13 last year. They shut him down. They shut him down at the end of the year because they were going nowhere and worried about their draft positioning. He could have played at the end of the year. They shut him down. And so I don't think he's as injured as you're making it out to be. He also costs nothing. And here's my retort. You can always pay him and keep him. You don't have to just keep him for 1 year. And he's ideal. Ideal for a rookie quarterback. He's going to be a rookie quarterback's best friend because he is always, always open.
But you should be happy. They didn't even ask about him.
When they called
the Chargers, the front office from New England didn't even ask about him. So they side with you.
They side with the texter. They couldn't even be bothered to pick up the phone and ask about the name Keenan
Allen.
Do you think
the texter was macro? Make it make sense.
You know what? Yes, I do think that's a dead giveaway. That was macro. Were there any, I got to look at some follow-up texts. Were there any references to Shawshank or anything like that? Perhaps. I don't know. I'll have to look.
It's tough. It was tough for Brooks out there.
Can I make it make sense real quick? The last 2 years for the Patriots, your leading receivers have been running backs. Zeke Elliott and Ramondre Stevenson have led your team in receiving yards.
Yeah,
and you need a receiver.
The guy you signed last offseason is whipping his hog out on social media, so there's that as well. 617-779-7937. What?
Did you see the news
item? The picture of Juju Smith? Yes,
Juju.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
The text line has some classy jokes about that. About wide receiver movement.
Let's read them during the break.
I'll have to look at those. We'll get to that. And we'll get back to the Boston Red Sox. Our big question of the day up now at Jones and Mego. You can vote. What's the worst look for the Red Sox? I think we know what it is for Juju Smith-Schuster. We'll get back to that with your phone calls next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.